We're going to be in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. We've been doing a series on doors, and each Sunday I stand up here, I'm reminded of that. Sister Amy is talented in her decorating and setting things up, and she set us up a door and a scripture verse that was a key verse that we were using in our series, and reminds us of what the Lord is doing. And when we look throughout the scriptures and we see doors, we found that many of these doors were doors of protection, doors that even brought about a separation, if you will. Some were able to enter in, some were not. Jesus was the answer to that, and we found that He was the one that was providing the safety and the security. Today, we're talking about a door. We're talking about a stone that was rolled in front of a tomb. And this here, the account of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, I was thinking and preparing for this. Like, I didn't want this to sound like a Easter message, but in all honesty, an Easter message is a good message for every Sunday. Amen. The fact that the Lord Jesus has come to life and is a living Savior that we serve today, this is the very basis of all of our faith. This is the very reality that we hold upon, is that He is alive. If He would not have arose from the dead, then every promise that Jesus ever made would have been null and void, right? It would have been for nothing. It never would have carried through. But yet, Jesus, being the living Savior, being the God that He claimed to be, as He was proclaiming His deity, being one with the Father, it was violently rejected. It was hated by the scribes and the Pharisees and those that hated Jesus, but yet He proved once and for all, without a shadow of a doubt, that He truly is the Son of God. He is the God, the one and only, who can save us, and we will one day stand before and give an account. So as we look at this and we come to the realization, as we come into this context, we're on the very morning of their understanding or the revealing of His resurrection. Now, Jesus is already out of the tomb by this point. He's already taken care of business and done all that He said that He would do. But now it's for us to realize that He truly is alive. And in the book of Mark, we get a very good, concise description and understanding of what Jesus has done. But one thing and one object in this is that I wanted us to look at is the stone that was rolled in front of the tomb. It was an obstacle to the ladies that wanted to go there and wanted to minister to the body of Jesus. Now, some would think that, well, why in the world would they do that? Much the same reason that we go to a gravesite today. We go and paying our respects to those that we love, reflecting on the memories. It's a process of grieving, isn't it? These ladies were in the process of grieving. They've lost their Savior. They've lost the best friend that they ever had. More than that, they lost the very teacher of life that they had been drawn to. Mary Magdalene had been healed by Jesus. In fact, even seven demons were cast out of her. So she had much to love Jesus for. Amen? Do you have much to love Jesus for today? I believe we do. We shared some of the testimonies even today. Yes, we have much to love Jesus for because He has done so much for us. And even if He didn't do one more thing for us for the rest of eternity, we still would have all the reason to love Him with all of our lives. Amen? Absolutely. So let's look at Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. And I'm going to get a little bit more into where we're headed here. But I want us to read the text and get us into the context of what's going on in Scripture. In Mark chapter 16, beginning of verse 1, he says, "Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint Him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid Him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Father, we come to you today and we ask for the blessing of the reading of your word. And may you just guide us in the understanding of your word, the understanding of your great power, that same power is working in and through us today. Lord, may we just be seeking you to remove those obstacles that may be in the way of us following and obeying you. Lord, just help us to draw closer to you. But more than that, that we may experience your love working in and through us out to others. Lord, we just pray that you'll just bless me today as I share your word. Just forgive me of my sin and just use me for your honor and glory today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, as we look at this, I'm going to be focusing on the stone, which the star of the show is not the stone, right? Jesus. In fact, Jesus isn't even here. They get there and find out he's gone. And so there's a lot of excitement, but yet terror going on all at the same time. So when we see that they get there, they're on their way. They're traveling. And their first question is, who's going to roll the stone away for us? The stone is very large. In fact, it would usually take 2 to 3 men, sometimes more depending on how large the tomb is. But it would take many men to roll this, to seal it. But then on top of that, the Roman government has put their seal upon this stone, right? So not only is there a sealing of the heavy of the weight, but there's a seal of authority of the Roman government upon it. Many of the scribes and Pharisees who came to Pilate and said, you know, they're just going to take his body and they're going to continue this lie about that he's God. And they're going to say that he's risen when they just took his body and hid it somewhere. And so he just said, well, just go seal it the best that you can. And then they stood 2 guards there to watch over. And so, folks, there was no one getting in and out of this tomb, right? Wrong. Jesus didn't care about Rome's authority, did he? Jesus didn't care about the supposed authority that death holds over us. Amen? Jesus didn't care how big that stone was, but he did exactly what he said that he would do. And so on their way, they're wondering, well, who is it going to roll the stone away? Well, when we look at Matthew gives us the account that an angel came down. An angel came down even about the time that they were arriving, and there was an earthquake. And this angel came down and rolled the stone out of the way and sat there, kind of in a victorious stance, wouldn't you say? But here's something I want us to look at. My first point is life behind the obstacles. When I'm talking about obstacles today, obstacles can fill just about anything. And this is what excited me about this message so much. Some years ago, I was going through a difficult time and just really had some big things that were working against us. And as we were praying over those as a family, it really was looking like this is not going to work. Things are going to go bad, and they're going to go bad, and we're not going to be able to recover. And as I began to come to the Lord and just kept praying over these things and praying over these things, he led me to the scripture, and I was just reading through the book of Mark and come across. And, you know, I'll admit to you, it's the resurrection of Jesus. If you're a child of God, who has not visited these verses? Am I right? We have been here before. But that day, as I began to read, I was reading, and the statement of one of the ladies that said, who's going to roll this stone out of the way? And in the time of me reading that, I just kind of blurted out loud. I said, yeah, who's going to move this thing? Because at that point in time in life, I had an obstacle in front of me, couldn't move it. And I just thought, man, this thing is going to crush us. It's never going to get out of the way. When we begin to look at obstacles in life, don't we have a lot of obstacles? Some people have physical obstacles. Changes in their health, changes in their body, traumatic events that happen to their body, and they're never going to be the same. These are obstacles, aren't they? They go back home and things are just not the same. Families that are grieving over loss of loved ones, those are obstacles, aren't they? Things have changed and things are going to be different. And we think that if I can't see God, does he see me? And the reality is, yeah, he does. Sometimes we have obstacles of just even our own self. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's a past that we can't seem to outrun. Maybe it's things of guilt. Maybe it's shame. Maybe it's fear. Maybe we just allowed fear to completely rule our lives to the point it's become an obstacle and we choose to not even go. Life behind the obstacles is meaning that there is something between God and ourselves. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, there's a lot of things that try to get in the way. Did you even know that sometimes even our children, hobbies, our work, money, the list goes on. Amen? We can allow anything to get in the way. We can allow anything to draw our attention a little more passionately than Jesus. Are you with me, church? When we live life behind the obstacles, we're dealing with losses. We're dealing with difficulties. We're dealing with pain. We're dealing with hurts. But here's something as I begin to think about this is that, and this isn't going to sound good, and I'm not trying to be negative, but as the ladies were walking, unfortunately, they don't have the physical stature to move those stones. But you know, there's a lot of things that these ladies were dealing with. They come, as I mentioned, Mary Magdalene, she come from a past that was, some people would think, oh wow, she's had demons before. You need to watch her. A lot of stipulations, a lot of taboo things that may have been in her past that people could have used against her, but she didn't allow it to keep her from serving the Lord Jesus. In fact, she served Jesus very early in his ministry and was known for caring for the needs of ministry, not only to Jesus, but to the disciples as well. She became a very strong example of faith. And I believe them going to the tomb was a great example of faith. They knew that there was going to be obstacles. They knew that there were going to be things that they couldn't move or overcome, but yet they went anyway. Are you with me? So often we allow the obstacles to keep us from going or doing. Sometimes just simply overcoming an obstacle in life, the first step is to just show up. Just show up. They could have, as the disciples were doing, we're going to get to that at the last part of this reading in this text. Disciples didn't go first. The ladies did. Are you with me? Sometimes what we think is the most unlikely ones to go, but yet they're the most faithful ones to go. These ladies had to watch the Lord Jesus be murdered. They had no ability in the culture of that day to go into the Sanhedrin. They could not be heard. They couldn't go into the Roman courts to be heard. All they could do was stand by and watch the Lord Jesus being murdered. But yet they were the ones that were standing at the foot of the cross, except for John. All the other disciples ran in fear. Are you with me, church? Are you with me? Are you seeing the excitement that I gained from watching these ladies and the faith and the determination that they had to get to the one that they loved in spite of the obstacles? So many excuses that could have kept them from going. What are those things that are keeping you from facing the day? What are some things that are in your past that are haunting you or mistakes that you just can't seem to get past and the Lord's forgiven you, but you just, for some reason, haven't accepted His forgiveness, found the ability to go on? Are there sins that are hanging around in your life that are causing obstacles? Many failures can distract us from facing the day. But they come, the ladies went, they showed up in spite of the pitfalls, the weaknesses that they had. And you know what they found? They found victory. They found strength. They found healing. They found purpose because Jesus had already purchased all of that. Are you getting excited yet? I don't know about you, but I don't want to live behind the obstacles. But here's something that I got to thinking too, is that when we're dealing with those obstacles in life, many times they become so big, they kind of block out our view of God, don't they? Sometimes our hearts are so broken and so disappointed, and maybe even just the sin has just taken and robbed us of the joy of the Lord. And we think, is He even there anymore? The reality is He is. He's still working. In fact, when they got there, they found out that He had done all that He said. But I'm going to get that here in just a minute. I got just a couple more thoughts here before I get to my second point. Did you know every obstacle that we can possibly think of, or every obstacle that we think is insurmountable, is just a speck to the Lord? As I shared with you this morning, there were some obstacles that were just really discouraging me this morning. I'm staying very vague because I want you to understand that any obstacle that is an obstacle to you is very big to you, but very small in the concept of all that God is doing in and through you today. Amen? And as I shared with you, I would like to say I was very pastoral this morning. But no, I was a wine bag when I was venting to my wife. Now, I know some of you, that's hard to comprehend. Oh, my. We thought he levitated above the ground and shined my halo every morning. No. It was a wine bag. It was shameful. It was embarrassing, especially after when I got here and seen what God was doing. It was just like, man, Lord, I'm a mess, and I'm preaching on this. That is the topic of my message. I'm here with you. Amen? Yeah, you can say amen to that. We are. We're in this together. We are in this together. We're a mess together. And praise the Lord that he doesn't worry about messes. So my second point is that the obstacle was removed. Sometimes I think in life, all that time I spent worrying and wringing my hands and trying to plan a perfect plan to get past this obstacle, and come to find out that God already had it all taken care of by the time I got done. It's like, what am I going to do with all this? Throw it away, right? He's got the perfect plan. The stone was removed. He got there. Now, Matthew reminds us that they seen the angels that were there. So, I mean, we're getting some exciting things. Think of this for a moment. These ladies are grieving. They're heartbroken. The Lord Jesus has been dead. And they've gone for several days, a couple days, and on the third day, they go back finally. They had to wait till after the Sabbath. They couldn't go and minister to his body like they wanted to. They had to wait till after the Sabbath. So they're heartbroken. They're emotional wrecks. They're exhausted, probably haven't slept. And yet, they think that, how are we going to get to him? And they get there, and it was all done. Now, here's what's interesting. The Lord didn't move that stone. The angel didn't move the stone so that Jesus could get out of the tomb. Amen? They opened the tomb so that we would see that he is alive. He's already done. He already completed all that he intended to do and all that he promised to do and secured for us once and for all. The stone didn't keep him from doing anything. But sadly enough, it kept some from coming to the tomb. Think about that. So how do we overcome those obstacles? Well, I'm glad you ask. First, we see these ladies did not back down, but they faced their weaknesses that they had. Sometimes the first step to overcoming our weakness is what? Show up. So often people say, oh, Pastor, how can I grow in my faith? Show up. I know it sounds kind of facetious, but I'm telling you, I got good scriptural evidence on this. Show up. You know, I read a blog today, and so many things in our life today. Does it not seem as though in order to be a Christian, you've got to be excited, you've got to be on fire, and things got to be going, and earth-shattering, and life-changing, and every single day? Can I tell you, much of the Christian faith is, going to work again today. I've done this 50 million times for 30 years. Going to work again today, and I got to work with that guy. Oh, man, I hope he's in a better mood today. Everything I say to him, it just never goes anywhere. Are you with me? Oh, wow. Wow. I'm just mad I didn't think of saying that before you did. That's pretty good. And that was coming from my administrative assistant. We have so many things that we just think, oh, God has to be so earth-shattering. But yet so many times he's just calling us to be faithful. He's just calling us to be faithful and show up. And folks, I think that this is just one of the biggest lessons that we're learning from these ladies is to show up. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. He was talking to the disciples, and the disciples come to the realization that it's going to be very difficult for people to be saved. And he says, the disciples said, is it even possible for us to win those that are lost? And Jesus reminded them, look, it's not you doing this. It's God doing this. You just need to go. Amen? You just need to go. Exactly what I've commanded you to do. But you know, can I be honest with you? Sometimes as people, we step back and say, well, God, I wanted to do something more exciting. I don't want to do that. Are you with me? Our kids are kind of like that sometimes. I want to go with Grandpa, and we're going to do all this. Well, I need you to clean your room. I don't want to do that. We grow up and do the same thing. We grow up and do the same thing as a God. I don't want to do those meaningless tasks I do every day. How are you going to work in that? And we find out he's already been working in that. And he's waiting for you to show up another day. Amen? Because he's the one that's working. I'm going to use a phrase that may date me just a little bit. Have you ever made a mountain out of a molehill? My mom used to say that all the time. And as a kid, I'm like, I've seen molehills and they're really not that big. And I found out, yeah, that's what she's saying. Don't make a mountain out of a molehill. Sometimes we take those obstacles and we make them much bigger than they really are. We begin to live in fear. Have you ever heard Proverbs 22, verse 13? The lazy man says, there's a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. That's why he doesn't go to work. That's why he doesn't go out and plant. That's why he doesn't go out and provide for his family. Not because there's a lion outside, but he's lazy. Are you with me? He's creating a mountain out of a molehill. He's looking for every reason to be consumed with his fear and not show up. He gives up before he even goes. And so therefore, many times when we look at our difficulties, we look at ourselves and we think that, oh, I could never do that. I know the pastor's asking me, but I could never do that. I've got this, I've got that, and I'm just really not that good at this. And I'm sure there's someone else that could do. Are you with me? And so then we think, well, Lord, I've tried that before. I tried moving that obstacle and it just wouldn't move. With me? But he reminds us, with men, it's impossible. You can't do it. But with God, get out of the way. Have you ever been on a job site that you're trying to learn a new job and there's this old crusty old man, he's been there for 30 years and he wears the marks of doing that job, and he said, just get out of the way and let me show you how to do this. He's just disgusted that you're so ignorant and you don't have a clue of what's going on. You ever been there? I have. They're not nice about it. You know why? Because you're just so ignorant and don't know what you're doing. Let me show you. And I would like to get mad about that, but you know what? They're right because they know what they're doing. You know what? God doesn't do it that way. In fact, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, come. I'll give you wisdom. I'll give it to you abundantly. I'll give you all that you need, and I won't berate you. I won't discourage you. I won't condemn you for what you don't know, but I'm going to give you all that you need so that you can be faithful and watch me work. That wisdom is not always being able to move everything as much as it is to surrender to what he's already done. Secondly, we show up in the power of God, not in our own abilities. Paul, he even described this to the church at Corinth in chapter 2. He says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not be in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul was giving himself as an example of the fears and the difficulties he was dealing with. And he says, look, I came to you just as a man, just like you. But I didn't come with my own strength, but I come with the power of God, the very same way that you should live from day to day. Third, my third point, realize that God is at his best when we have little to nothing to offer. God is enough. God is all that we need. And we must rest in him. Are you with me, church? He is at his best when you don't have a clue what you're doing. But you faithfully go in prayer and say, God, just use me, prepare me, I'm available. Ask Isaiah how that worked. Amen? He come before the Lord and just realized not exactly what all to do, but he realized how little he could do. And folks, many times, that's the beginning of ministry. The more we seek the Lord, and Lord, what is it you want me to do? The more he reveals, the more I realize I am inequipped and unable to do all that you're asking of me. But what does he ask? He asks us to show up. And as he teaches us, he instructs us and guides us as we come to God's house. We come to Sunday school class. We hear the preaching of the word. We go home. We read the scriptures. We see that all that the pastor said was true. as they did in Berea, Book of Acts. And we see and we study personally until that we apply it, and then we find out following the Lord is the answer of removing those obstacles. Fourth, we must make the conscious decision to place our stress and anxiety upon the Lord and place it in His hands. I know that's hard. I know it's difficult, but it truly brings rest. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon Him. For why? Do you believe He cares for you? My friend, you can't look at the cross and the empty tomb and say He doesn't care. Amen? You can look at the lives of those that He reached, the simplest, the weakest that He reached out to, and you can never say that He doesn't care. Amen? In fact, that's what set Him apart from the scribes and the Pharisees. They didn't care about the people, but Jesus loved them. Amen? He cares for you, so therefore give your life to Him. Amen? My last point, obstacles in the lives of others. I wanted to bring out to you there in Mark chapter 16, verse 9, he says, Now, when He arose early in the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with Him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that He was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, He appeared in another form to 2 of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, He appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen Him after He had risen. What do we do about obstacles in the lives of others? And I give the example of that older gentleman that was teaching me something in a job, and he was just disgusted that I didn't know what I was doing. That is exactly how we do not deal with others with obstacles in their lives. Amen? We don't go to them and say, What are you making a mountain out of a molehill for? You're silly. Go home. Cry, baby. No, not going to gain anything, is it? Here's 3 things that I've seen in this. First of all, even though others may not believe, give your testimony anyway. The ladies went, they were shaking in fear of what they saw, trying to comprehend all that just happened. They just talked to angels. They saw that Jesus' body was gone. They remember what He says. They go running back to the disciples and say, You can't believe what we just seen. He's alive. And they're like, Oh, come on. You're so emotional in times like this. You get carried away about everything. We're just too heartbroken. We can't take this anymore. The greatest message on the face of the planet in all of history, and they throw a big old bucket of cold water on it. I don't know about you, so that's just kind of irritating, isn't it? We might even just think that we need to show them that it's true. I'm going to work them over. I'm going to grab them by the ear and drag them out here. Sometimes those that are facing obstacles have to come to the understanding that they have to understand the obstacles that are in the way and come to the Lord to get those answers. Not only the ladies, but the 2 that were on the road to Emmaus went back to the apostles and said, Hey, He's alive. They didn't believe. And so then Jesus shows up and says, What's wrong with you guys? And they're like, He's alive. And He's like, I sent people to you to tell you and you didn't believe. It's time for you to be faithful. It's time for you to believe. And you know what? Their unbelief was a big obstacle. Their hearts were broken. They're still grieving. But He removed it. He says, Here I am. In fact, He even told Thomas, Don't be therefore doubting, but believing. Reach your hand in here. Feel where they pierced my side. And the moment that he saw Him, he fell at His feet. My Lord, my Savior. I've seen enough. We have to be patient with those that are struggling with obstacles. Amen? There's a lot of obstacles that we look at and think that, oh, how could they struggle? But yet, for many, it's a life struggle. And we need to give our testimony anyway. Amen? Whether we think they're going to receive it, and even if they don't receive it, keep loving them and sharing that testimony. Amen? Can I encourage you? We have Sunday coming up, October 16th. We're going to have some folks coming in here. They're going to be nervous as can be. There's going to be some big obstacles. They're going to speak Spanish, and many of us don't. If you do, I want you to come tell me. I want to meet with you. And I keep thinking, Lord, we got these opportunities. Why are you sending them here? I'm not equipped. But yet, the Lord says, just show up and let me do the work. We're going to have some obstacles, aren't we? They're going to be dealing with some obstacles. But can I ask you? Show up. Amen. Just show up. Let's not build in our hearts and our minds all the things that could possibly go wrong. Let's entertain with prayer and ask the Lord to move on our behalf and on their behalf and build a relationship that we can come together and be the church that we're supposed to be and grow disciples no matter the obstacles may be. And let's watch Him do some great things to satisfy His honor and His glory and to bring pleasure to His name. Amen? I want you to stand with me this morning. I want to just take a few minutes, and I want you to examine your heart today. Stand with me, and let's bow our heads and just give the Lord a few quiet moments here. We talked about a big stone that laid in front of a tomb. For us, as we look back and we think, that wasn't that big of a deal because Jesus had already arose. But on their journey to that tomb, they spent 2 days crying their eyes out because the one that they knew was going to answer all their problems was all of a sudden gone. The one that raised people from the dead and healed the lame. They watched Him brutally murdered, unfairly, unjustly, die the most excruciating death on a cross. As they walked to that tomb, that obstacle was keeping them from the one that they loved. My friend, many of these obstacles that we deal with today are simply just obstacles of distraction. We forget how much Jesus loves us, and we think that putting our time and effort in so many other things is going to satisfy our lives, our future, and our children's lives. What are the obstacles that you're dealing with today? Is there a past that's haunting you that you need to just ask the Lord for forgiveness and accept that He's willing to forgive any and all sin if we come and confess? And He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness? That's Scripture. You can be free of that, and that obstacle can be removed, and you move forward in a newness of life and a newness of commitment to the Lord today. Church, does it not spring excitement into your heart of knowing it's not based upon our abilities, but what God has already done? Doesn't it excite your heart to know the possibilities are not measured by what we can see, but what God has revealed and is waiting to reveal to His church to fulfill the Great Commission? He told us to stay. He sent the Spirit. He empowered His church. And then He sent us. And He says, but I'm going to send you, but I'm not going to send you alone. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. Folks, that truth and that Savior is still the same today. He's just waiting for us to show up. Father, we thank You for Your Word and the excitement of Your Word. But I pray for those obstacles that are hanging around in our lives, and they come in many forms. But Lord, I know victory can be had in and through You. What we see as an obstacle that keeps us from us, Lord, it can be turned into an opportunity for You to show Yourself strong and to continue to show Yourself faithful as You always are. Lord, transform our faith, that we're not sitting back waiting for the obstacles to be gone, but yet we go anticipating that You've already got the answer and the solution in hand. Lord, we thank You for being a progressive, always moving forward, always leading us in the right direction. But Lord, we need the courage and the strength to see past those fears. So Lord, help us to keep our eyes on You, not just in hope, but in faithfulness. Help us to grow deeper in love with You, that the love will override any and all things in life. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.